for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
This is the 2006 Memorial Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, May the 26th, 2006, LaVon Thompson is the speaker of this service, teaching on the finger of God.
Praise God. Thank you, Brother Miller. I didn't realize as much as I do now where I was until Brother Miller said what he did about Derek Prince. How many of you do not know about Derek Prince? Would you raise your hand? Do not know? Everybody in here needs his complete library. Derek Prince and Frank Hammond, you need all of their books. Everybody say all.
All.
What part of all don't you understand? All. All of them. I've devoured them. I've inhaled them. Go to bed listening to Derek Prince. I'm not saying this because I'm standing here. I'd say this to you in private. We've got a general sitting here. We've got a patriarch sitting here. That's not flattery. I mean what I'm saying. Flattery is a form of a lie. We've got a general here, and I didn't meet this man until last night. After what he has said, I just love to sit around and pick his brain and listen to him talk. I would encourage you, my brother, to record them, record your memories. I love that. If you hadn't read Prince's book on blessings and cursings, oh, my Lord, folks, oh, dear God, that's a library within itself. I'll never read that book again without remembering what my brother said, how that came about. And Brother Rex Humbard's brother here, my Lord, we're among patriarchs, folks. I'm telling you, can't remember a time that I didn't know about Brother Humbard. Heard about this brother here before I ever got down here. Said, Brother Rex's brother would be there. Really? 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 Amen. Last time I heard Brother Humbard preach, Brother Rex, Albuquerque, New Mexico, in a Benny Hinn meeting. This is before Benny Hinn got to be Benny Hinn. Now, when you hear me talk, you think I'm a patriarch. But I used to be a monkey monk. And I had a meeting in Oklahoma City, and I told my wife, I said, I'm going to go early to Oklahoma City. The meeting was on Monday. I said, I'm going to Tulsa on Saturday. A pastor friend of mine in Tulsa was having this little evangelist in. And I don't know where I heard about him, but I'd heard about him. And I said, I want to go to Tulsa and listen to this little evangelist. I understand that he's good, that he has the ear of God. And he's speaking about what God is doing today. And that was Benny Hinn. And before I left there, on Sunday, I told my pastor friend, I said, I'd like to have that set of tapes. Hinn was teaching on demonology and deliverance. I said, I'd like to have that set of tapes. And he says, Hinn will not allow me to sell them. But he said, I'll get you a set. And I've got that set in my library today. But Brother Humbard preached in Albuquerque in that meeting. Of a morning service, preached a very simple message. I think he entitled it, Three Things God Doesn't Know, and gave the altar call. And I stood there and just wept. I'm telling you, I wept at the people. Pretty soon, Brother Humbard says, don't come. There's no place else for you to come. The aisles were jammed. The altar area was jammed. You can't come. You just have to stay where you are. So many responded to salvation. Totally awesome. You're in the presence of two great men of God. And I want to say three after I met the doc over here. I'm serious, folks. I'm serious. And I'm humbled to stand where I'm standing tonight. I told my friend Nathan Hobson, who I guess Nathan gave my name to Brother Glenn. And when Glenn gave me the invitation to come, I wanted to come. I wanted to come for the experience. I'm telling you, I'm here for the experience. And I have experienced. I've been in deliverance for a while, but I've been in deliverance here. Amen. And I told Brother Nathan, I said, I feel like I'm going to be preaching to the choir. Because what do I have to say to them? And I'm serious. I can't emphasize that enough. I'm humbled to stand here and to be able to say a few words that I can say. I like the words that that came out of Luke chapter 1. And I don't remember what translation it's in. But it's when Gabriel talked to Mary and said, no word from God. Mary says, be it unto me according to thy word. Now, personally, I believe that's when Mary got pregnant. That's what I believe. Be it unto me according to thy word. She accepted the word and the message of the Lord then, and she became pregnant. 9 months later, she gave deliverance to a baby boy. I don't know how much she weighed. Same weight I did. 8 pounds and a few ounces. But here's something else that is stated in that, and I think it's the... I think it's the NAS translation. It says that no word from God is without power. This is not my message tonight. Maybe it is. I was going to teach and preach on the finger of God, but no word from God is without power. Did you know that Jesus said one time, He says, no idle words. You know what idle means? No words that are unemployed. When we speak, our words should be employed. In other words, they have a task and they have a purpose. So my prayer is constantly. I pray this constantly. I thank you, Father God, that all of my words are faith-filled words. They're full of power. My words are faith-filled words. My words are carriers. My words are containers. And therefore my words contain life and not death. I shall live and not die to declare the works of God. I am called of God. I know I am. Also, I know this, I'm not a performer. And even after what saying to you a moment ago, what do I have to say to you? And then finally, I had to resolve the fact that I have to overlook these noted speakers up here. I'm serious. I've got to look beyond the first row and move out to where you are. I heard a noted speaker who has a church of almost 30,000 people. He says, I visualize myself sitting at my dining room table. I'm sitting at the head, and there's three others that are sitting there with me. There is that Christian who is very mature. There is that other Christian who is in the process. And then there's the new babe. And he says, when I speak, I've got to speak to all three. Amen. Now watch this. In Ecclesiastes, it says there's nothing new under the sun. And of course, the sun has already disappeared, so there's nothing new under the moon. Nothing new. So that gives me rest. Preaching a meeting in California one time, and I preached my heart out. I thought I'd done pretty good. And gave the invitation, and nobody came. Zilch. Nobody. And man, Amarillo to California. So I just turned around and knelt to the chair. They had chairs like this, and I knelt to the chair and said, God, did I miss you? Where did I go wrong? I really thought I had the word for tonight. Where did I go wrong? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He says, you are not a trained seal that you should perform. And I praise God for that. And about as soon as I heard that from the Holy Spirit, somebody tapped me on the shoulder and says, Brother Thompson, you need to minister to these who are up front. And the altar was full. Isn't that something? Do you tell me my God doesn't have humor? You know what he was saying? He says, everybody needs ministry, including the preacher. So he ministered to me at the pew. I get up and I minister to others. Praise God. Isn't he good? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's talk about the finger of God. How many of you knew God had a finger? Amen. I don't know if he's got a thumb, but I know he's got a finger. Or sometimes, I'm really in Okie doing missionary work in Texas, but in Oklahoma we call it finger. And all of you Okies, you just forgive me, but the finger of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. When I think about the finger of God, I think about Jesus praying. And he did pray. The Word says sometimes he might pray all night. When I think about that, I think, wow, him praying all night, where does that put me? And I think about when Jesus spoke to Peter. He says, Satan has desired to sift thee. But then what did he say? I have prayed. Oh, hallelujah. Think about Jesus praying for you. We're going to form two lines up here tonight. Jesus is over here, and I'm over here. You get in the prayer line you want to get into. That's what I thought. And it's not mine, is it? Wow. Wow. Isn't that good? You know how I can top that? I can top that. Jesus says, I'm going to leave. And when I do, I'm going to send back my other brother. Well, that's a paraphrase. I'm going to send back the Comforter. Jesus says, I can either be here or over there, but I can't be here and there. But says, when He comes, the Spirit of Truth, when He comes, He'll be here and there. And then the Apostle, he comes by and says, when that Comforter, and I'm paraphrasing all this, according to Levon, he says, when that Comforter comes, he knows how to pray the prayer. Shalom shalim, Yahashalom okiyeseheb oholah, lunedelaboku yeheshima. How many of you heard what I said? You heard it, but you didn't understand it. Did you know who did? The one who gave it. Do you know why? In order for God to be released to work in the earth. And I didn't have enough sense to know how to pray properly. So the Comforter comes in order that He might pray the prayer that would give God permission to be released in the earth to do what needs to be done. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus can pray for you, or the Holy Spirit can. I don't know where your theology is, but mine is very simple, yet so complex. Jesus says, when I leave, I'm going to come back. And He wasn't referring to a second advent, etc., at the end of age, but He was referring that I'm going to come back in the person of the Holy Spirit. That is awesome. The bottom line is here tonight that Jesus knew how to pray and He knew how to get results. Therefore, He was a powerful prayer-er. And so can we be as well. Amen? Our prayers can be effective. Now watch. I want you to, if you don't have time to turn to pages because I've got my scripture written down. Alright? Watch this. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power. When? After the Holy Ghost. We're talking about the Holy Ghost, not in salvation, but in baptism, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's my theology. Brother Glenn had to step out, but that little machine over there, I've learned, that can edit the messages, so he can take my message, edit it, and make it sound good. So if my theology is messed up and screwed up, the editor over there can take care of it. Now watch this, folks. Watch this. When the Holy Spirit comes, He comes with power. That's dunamis. Also comes with authority. Power and authority. He brings both. That is good news. Now, in James chapter 5, verse 16, Amplified Translation. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. The effectual, I think the King James, by the way, this is the King James here. And if you really want a Holy Bible, you need to get one that says chain reference, Thompson. Make sure it's got Thompson on there to make it a good Bible. But everybody say yuck. Yuck, yuck. I think the King James says the earnest prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I like what the Amplified says because it amplifies upon it. He says the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power. Hallelujah. Makes tremendous power. Now, here's where the power comes from. Now, given it is the Holy Spirit, watch this. Here's the equation. Here's the formula. For power, you need position plus relationship equals power. Everybody say position. Everybody say relationship. Position and relationship wedded together, added together, makes power. Let's deal first of all with position. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. This tells us that God hath made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I wonder how the Da Vinci Code works in that one. The Da Vinci Code, let me put in my two bits here. The Da Vinci Code is the devil's answer to Mel Gibson's The Passion. The devil had to give an answer to that. Now, we have been made in right standing through the blood of Jesus Christ. He has made us right. Everybody say right. Righteousness is a religious term. You don't use that usually when you go to Walmart or to the mall. We only use that word usually when we're in church. Righteousness just simply means in right standing with God. We are righteous. I'm in right standing with God. See, that talks about position. That's my position tonight. He has made me right, not by any works that I have done. No works. I've tried the works. Don't go there. It'll make you tired and get you nowhere. We are right because of what Jesus has done. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Four things. Wisdom. Everybody say righteousness. Okay. Sanctification. That's another religious term that we don't use at Walmart. Sanctification simply means, this is an oversimplification, it just means being set apart for the use of God. Being set apart. See, this property is sanctified. It's been set apart for the use of God. We are set apart for the use of God. Sanctified. All right? Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 6. God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Matter of fact, I think that Greek word there is sozo, which also means delivered. So by His grace are we saved. And hath raised us up together. What do you mean raised up together? Where we're dead in sins, He has raised us up together. Everybody say raised up. Raised up together with Him and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Have you ever heard this saying? Okay, man, keep looking up. Not here. I used to have this on my desk for a while. You come in and look on my desk, the motto was, keep looking down because I'm seated together with Him. Positionally speaking, I'm seated together with Him. And where's He at? Says that He is seated with the Father on the Father's right hand. You know why He sat down? Because He completed the work. You say, well, what about what's going on in your world today? Hey, that's where you come in. That's why we're here. He completed it. We're carrying it out. We're seated together with Him in heavenly places. Everybody say, position. Are you seeing your position? You're righteous. You're seated together with Him in heavenly places. Listen to Hebrews 4:16. Whereby that we have the right or the privilege of going right into God's throne room. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne room. Why? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Mercy, grace, twin sisters. And we get it. We can enter boldly right into the throne room. Don't have to come intimidated. Don't have to come in cowed down. At the same time, we don't come in arrogantly. Or defiantly. But we do come boldly. Everybody say boldly. You need to remember that because you need to be bold in the kingdom of God. You must be. Let's look at the second word. We talked about position and a lot can be said about that. But now let's talk about relationship. Position is easy. Relationship is much harder. It was easy for me to get married to this lady. I just had to say, well, I had to say four words. I started to say I had to say two words, but really I had to say four words. In the beginning, I said, I do. And from there on out, it was, I will. Anybody ever seen Judge Judy on TV?
Yeah.
Sister Nice. Did you know she was married and is married to a former Supreme Justice in the state of California? And it's his responsibility to take out the garbage. And he said to her one time, says, I'm a supreme justice. And so Judy says, so put on your robes. Just get this garbage out of here. Put your robes on if it'll make you feel better. Position is good. Relationship takes effort. All I had to do to get in position is to accept Jesus and believe in His Word and to believe that I am made right. And I do have the privilege of going before Him. I don't have to take a number. I can go to Him 24-7, 365. As an old gospel song we used to sing in the church when I was growing up, Central's never busy. Some of you don't know what that means. But you can call on Him any time. Position is great. Relationship takes effort. St. John 15. This we'll have to turn to. And God help me. Babe, you watch the clock. I wish Brother Glenn gets back in here. He says, forget about the clock. I like him better. Everybody say relationship.
Relationship.
I was doing some counseling with some young people here a few weeks ago. They just come out of the drug culture and they're newly married, been married 3 or 4 years, and they fuss and they fight. And usually when they was in drugs, when they fight, well, she'd just move out. And then they'd cool off and he'd go back and get her. In and out, up and down, blah, blah, blah. And so I was doing some counseling with them, and so I was talking to them about offenses and how that they need to learn how to forgive and love and accept one another. And I said, now, if you would hang out with me long enough, I will offend you. And he spoke up and says, you already have. And I said, okay. When did I do that? And they were making the decision to move from an apartment complex to someplace else. And I didn't think it was the right thing for them to do. And I voiced my opinion, and he didn't like it. So it was offensive. And I said, well, okay. I said, will you forgive me? And he said, I guess. Relationship takes effort. If you and I hung out long enough, I will offend you. And you want to hear some bad news, you will too. Because Jesus says it's impossible to avoid them. But the worst part is if you do the offending. Now, watch 15. It talks relationship. Catch the role. He says, I'm the true vine. My Father, now, I'm reading from Thompson here. Keep that in mind, so I'm going to take liberty in the interest of time. I'm the true vine that infers that there may be a false one. And my Father is the caretaker. Now, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He takes away. Now, every branch that bears fruit, He cuts it off a little bit. Why? That it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean. Well, how? Well, through the Word. Well, what Word? Well, when I spoke it to you. Now, abide in me. Everybody say, hang tight. Now, watch this. All you have to do in relationship with Jesus is to hang in there. Now, catch the role here. He's the vine. We're the branch. All we have to do is hang in there. Hang in there. And if you'll hang in there, you'll produce some fruit. But you ain't seen nothing yet until He comes back, the Father, comes back and prunes you a little bit. Everybody say, ouch.
Ouch.
Okay. Now, He does that because of relationship. Now, if you're abiding in me, and I in you, because a branch cannot bear fruit by itself, except it abides or connects or hangs on to the vine, and no more can you, except you abide in me. We cannot bear fruit unless we abide in and with Jesus. Okay? And so Jesus says it again, like we didn't get it the first time. I'm the vine. You got that, Levon? I'm the vine. You, my friend, are a branch. Now he that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Now why is that? Well, because without me, Levon, you can't do anything, boy. Now, there's nothing wrong with that because Jesus said the same thing about Himself in the fourth part of this book in chapter 5. He said, I can't do anything of myself. Okay. So that's not a slap in the face. That's a compliment. Now, if a man abides not in me, he's cast forth like a branch, and it just withers. And men gathers them up, and since they're not any good, they're good for nothing, they're thrown in the fire. Now, Doc brought out verse 7 today, which is one of the most powerful verses of Scripture that you'll find in the Word of God. Now watch this. Watch. With every promise, there's a condition. Every promise has fine print. Everybody say fine print.
Fine print.
Everybody say, I knew there's a catch. Now watch. Fine print. This is the fine print. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then you can ask. Ask what? What you will. And watch, I'm telling you, I get choked up on this. I could cry right now. Wouldn't take much. My Lord has got more confidence in me than I've got in myself. He has made me such a powerful promise here that if I'd have used the vernacular, it'd blow your mind. He is saying to me, Levon, you can ask me anything you want to ask me. But in order for you to do that and for me to be able to fulfill what you ask me, you've got to stay in my word. Fine print. And the more that I stay in the book, the more the Holy Spirit is released to work in me. Because every time the Holy Spirit works, He does not speak of Himself. He's always talking about the Word. The Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. That's St. John 16. The Holy Spirit never talks about Himself. Always talks about the Word. And when we abide in the Word, the Holy Spirit is in operation. And when He's in operation, He is developing relationship. And that relationship is being enhanced. And as it's being enhanced, it gets richer. And the more that you come to know Him, the more your selfish desires falls to one side. And you don't want anything except what He wants. I was praying a prayer one time and I said, God, what do I do here? And I just kept praying that and I couldn't hear anything. I just kept praying it. This went on for several days. And over a week I'd pray that every morning. God, what do I do here? And finally He says, do what you want to. I got excited. Yes! And you know what I want to? And then it occurred to me, I don't know what to do. That's why I prayed. And you tell me God doesn't have humor? He knew He could trust me with that. Do what you want to do. He already knew. Dummy didn't know what to do. He'll come back and ask me again. But here's what I got out of that. I got out of that trustworthiness. And I could tell you about trusting. I don't want to go there. That's another testimony itself. But learning. Me learning to trust Him. And of course, He already knows me thoroughly. And He knows where the trust level is there. Okay? Now watch. If you abide in Him, and His words abide in you, you'll never ask anything that's contrary to His will. St. John 5. 1 John. Little John 5. Okay. When we pray His will. And when we pray His will, we always get what we ask for. Okay? Now, herein is my Father glorified. Well, what do you mean? Well, that you bear much fruit, so that you may be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I've loved you. Did you get that? I might have went too fast. As the Father has loved me, so I love you, Levon. Did you see that? Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about relationship. I ask you, how much did the Father love the Son? You measure that. And if you can measure that quantitatively, you can measure the love that Jesus has for you. Now, you're talking about dealing with the spirit of rejection. You're talking about dealing with self-pity. Jesus loves me on the same level that the Father loved Him. It's also found in St. John chapter 17, I think, verse 26b, whereby that great prayer of Jesus, where He says that, let me just turn there. We're right there. We're right there, just a page over. It's verse 23, part C down there. Okay, let me read the whole verse. I and them, and you and me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent me. Now watch this clause, this last clause. And hath loved them as Thou hast loved me. Now, do you understand what He said? For God, yes, it's almost incomprehensible. Matter of fact, to me it is incomprehensible. Now watch this. Jesus is saying, It's out of the mouth of Jesus, not the Apostle Paul, not Peter, although that had been all right too. But out of the mouth of Jesus, he says, God, my Father, loves you, Levon, as much as he loves me. Now, where's self-pity? Where's the spirit of rejection? Now, you may have not heard this verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not be wasted, done away with, perish, but should have everlasting life. For God so loved Levon, the same level, the same qualitative love that he loved Jesus. What are we talking about? We're talking about relationship. We're talking about position, and we're talking about relationship that brings in great power. My wife and I have 4 children. I wouldn't give either one of them for the whole lot of you. Somebody say amen. Any of you got children? Hold up your hand. You got more than one child? Hold up your hand. Which one of them would you give for me? That's what I thought. God didn't have 4 sons and he picked one out. He had 1 son and he was willing to go. Only 1 son. And he wasn't a son then, he was the Word. But the Word was willing to come in order that you and I might come. What are we talking about? We're talking about relationship. We're talking about position. And we're talking about power. Where when we are made righteous through and by the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the power of His blood, that has brought us into a position of entering into a relationship that develops over a lifetime. Pardon me for getting emotional. But I think about Brother Miller over here, talking about Derek Prince, and I'm sitting there thinking, I wish I could have been there. I wish I could have been there. I got to move on. I got to quit here. I'll read it without preaching. Everybody say it. I believe it when I hear it. Yeah, I thought so. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, you're my friend. If, see that condition? If you do whatever I command you. Now, do you trust him? Do you trust him that when he commands that you'll do it? Henceforth, from here on out, I'm not going to call you servants. Why? Because a servant doesn't know what his master or his Lord is doing. You know why? Because he's a servant. It's none of his business. His business is to serve. But I have called you friends. I've moved up from a servant to a friend. I'm on the inside track. I'm a member of the clique. Now, I've called you friends. And all things, and all things, and all things, and all things, and all things that I have heard of my Father, I've told you. Why? Because we're friends. 16. You didn't pick me. I picked you and ordained you. Why? That you'd go forth and bring fruit. Everybody say fruit. I think we heard he's not talking about apples and oranges here. We've heard that, right? Now watch the last clause of that. And that your fruit should remain. Now in the King James, when you see a colon there, he's going to amplify on that. Let me tell you what he means by remain. Remain there that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Whatever. Do you see the click? Do you see the relationship that is developing? Position, relationship, power. Oh. Woo. Look at chapter 16, verse 23. Man, I think I'm doing good. I'm moving on pretty good here. Am I, babe? Am I moving? And in that day, look at 23, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily. Listen to me. I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Oh, hallelujah. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke 11. Luke 11, 14. And as he was casting out a devil, well, what kind of demon was it? Well, it was dumb. Oh, I love that. I just love reading that. Reading about dumb demons. I just love reading about that. And it was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil, or demon, was cast out, the dumb spoke. And the people wondered. One translation said, was amazed. But some of them said, he cast out demons through Beelzebub, the chief of demons. Beelzebub means what? Lord of flies. Every time I see flies swarming, I get angry. And others tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. Dear God. Man was just delivered from a speechless condition, and they want some sort of manifestation up in the air. But, everybody say but. Always enjoy reading the buts in the Bible, because when you see a but, it almost negates everything else that's been said. Okay. He says, but he, that is Jesus, with a word of knowledge, by you the Holy Spirit, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against itself falls. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Well, it won't. And it's not going to. Because you say, I cast out demons through the Lord of the flies, and if I by the Lord of the flies cast out demons, how do your sons cast them out? Let them be your judges. 20. But if I with the finger of God cast out demons, everybody say the finger of God. Hey, this is where we've been wanting to get to. The finger of God cast out demons. No doubt, that means total belief, the kingdom of God has come upon you. Isn't that good? But when a strong man keeps his palace, his place, his house, his goods are in peace. When a strong man does that. But when a stronger than the strong man, when he shall come upon him and overcome him, he takes from him all of his armor wherewith he trusted and divides his spoil. You know what's stronger than the strong? The finger of God. Not this one. This one. I don't think God just has one finger on his hand. I think he's got five fingers. Don't ask me to prove that. That's just what I think. Now, if he's got five fingers, I think he just used the little finger. Could be the index finger. You know what difference it makes? Nothing. That's right. It's the finger of God. Do you know what the finger of God is? Matthew 12. The same account. Same account that we just read. Matthew 12. Matthew 12:27. If I by Beelzebub, the Lord of flies, cast out demons, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God. Everybody say the finger of God. The finger of God is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. You know what my confession of faith is today? I have finger pointing, voice activating, hands on, shadow anointing. I have voice activating, finger pointing, hands on, shadow anointing. I have. I'm not going to get. I have. You hear my faith? I have. I'm employing my words. My words are not idle. My words are faith-filled words. They're carriers of the dynamic power of the Word of God. I have finger-pointing, voice-activating, hands-on, shadow-anointing. I'm going to be walking through Walmart, and they're going to fall under the anointing of God. I'm going to walk through Walmart. I'm going to be on the golf course one day and pray for somebody that's had a heart attack. And I'll just say to the guys, just step one side. If you want to see the hand of God, i.e., if you want to see the finger of God, you watch this. I'll demonstrate the power of God and raise them up. I believe that with all my heart. It's going to happen. I do not. I pray the prayer of the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I do not come with the enticing words of men's wisdom, but I come in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. This is not my meeting, but when I go into meetings, I start my meetings out with a miracle. I demonstrate the power of God. I'll get your attention. Then I'll declare the Word of God, and I've got you hooked again, and then the power of God will work yet again. I have, now watch this, I have the hand of God in me and on me. I have the finger of God. I have the Holy Ghost. I am in a positional relationship with Him. It's an ongoing, developing relationship. Now watch how our relationship has grown. The first church I pastored was in southern New Mexico. near El Paso. It was a rural church, a country church. Too small for me. I'm a big man. I need in a city where I can flex myself. I need to turn a city upside down. I can't do this out in the country. So I'd preach my heart out and nobody would respond. They didn't realize who they were hearing preaching. Yeah, right. And so I was praying a prayer and I said, God, you give me power and I'll move these people. And he answered me right away. He said, if I'd done that, I wouldn't have anybody left. Now, I'm serious. That's funny, but do you see the relationship? I wasn't ready for that level of power. You know why? Because faith worketh by love. And I was angry and frustrated and upset. There wasn't love there. Love would have wiped them out. Watch another prayer I prayed. This is later on. This is years later. I was praying, oh God! Oh God! Oh God! Let your Holy Spirit move in this place. Oh God! Let your Holy Spirit move in this place. And he spoke to me again. He said, I don't have him bound, you do. How many of you here are you hearing relationship? I'm in position, but my relationship is developing. Now you can understand Hebrews where he says that he chastens his children. Every son he chastens. You know what the good thing about that is? He done that in private. If I hadn't shared that with you, you'd have never known. You know why I shared it with you? Because you thought it was humorous. I didn't at the time. I'm sharing it with you whereby that you don't make the same mistakes I made. Just get on. Move on. Now, I'm still developing a relationship, but ever since I've been a child of God, I've been interested in two things. I've been interested in the power of God and the nuts and the bolts. Nuts and bolts is the ways of God that one of you brethren mentioned. And Doc, I know, mentioned it, that Moses, Israel knew the acts or the miracles or the hand of God. And Moses knew the ways. See, Israel was in position. Moses was in relationship. Now, Moses was part of Israel, so he got to see and participate in the miracles. So Moses got both. Isn't that good? And so here I am, I'm praying, and I'm praying and I'm seeking God, and so prayer is power. And so I said, God, you wake me up at 4 o'clock and I'll pray. Looked at the clock, right on the button. I'm glad I didn't say 3:59. I mean, he woke me up, and then I understood the meaning of the scripture. The Spirit is willing. Everybody say relationship. Yeah, right. See, I'm in position. I'm in right standing. Right standing's not the question. It's relationship. How many of you know God's outside the time of space and dimension? He doesn't need to sleep. Who needs to sleep? How many of you know the best time to sleep is Sunday morning? So he woke me up, and this went on for months. I'd get up at 4 o'clock, and I'd pray. I'd pray. And I'd make myself pray. I took my watch off. You're going to pray a minimum of an hour. You have a goal of 3. But you're not going to get by with less than an hour. If I brought my man chart in here tonight and held it up, I could show you where we're spirit. We are a spirit. We have a soul, and our spirit and soul lives in a body. We walk by faith and not by senses. Yeah, sight, senses. So we are spirit-led, not soulish-led. So therefore, my spirit was telling my soul and my body, 1 hour, Jack, nothing less. So I disciplined myself by listening to my spirit. And my soul and my body wanted to give up after 5 minutes. And I said, you've got at least another 55 to go. You're going to stay on your knees. Another 55 minutes. You're not getting up. So I buffeted my body, my flesh. I stayed there with my watch. I babbled. I ran off at the mouth. But I stayed for my 1 hour. Then I bumped it up to 2 hours. Then I bumped it up to 3 hours. Everybody say relationship. It was developing. Now, how much good my praying was doing, I don't know, but I was doing this. I was letting my spirit man tell my flesh what to do. When to get up and when to get down, where to go and what to do. That was the good, I believe, that was coming out of that prayer time. Was letting and allowing my spirit man to discipline me. And as my prayer time began to develop, I did see an increase in the Lord's power. But then the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, if praying long will do it, and you want to see X, Y, Z, then how long do you have to pray to see X, Y, Z? For example, if you wanted to see a demon come out and prayer was required, then how long of a prayer? 5-minute prayer? An hour prayer? A 10-hour prayer? A 10-hour prayer equals the eviction of one demon. Well, you see where I'm going? You see where I'm going with that? I can sum all that up with one word, but let me go on. What if I wanted to see the mighty works of God? What if I wanted to see the miracles? What if I wanted to see them coming out of the wheelchair? What if I wanted to see someone raised from the dead? How many minutes, i.e. hours of prayer, do I need to pray to get one out of the wheelchair? Do y'all know how long? I don't either. Now watch. I can summarize all that up. Now what was I doing? I was seeking for the anointing, greater anointing of God. Now I can summarize all of that up with one word. Works. It says works. You say, yeah, but Brother LeBron, you were praying. Yes, I was praying, but what was my motive? What was my motive? Oh, well, your motive was to see him coming out of the wheelchair and to raise the dead. That was your motive. Was it? Now he was made unto me righteousness, wisdom, sanctification. Now I get down to motive. Why do you want to see the power of God? Why do you want to see the finger of God? Why do you want to see all of these things? May I introduce to you LeVon Thompson from Amarillo, Texas. He's a dead, raising, demon-chasing, creep preacher of God. Come on up, Brother Thompson. Yes.
Come on, brother.
Can you see my feathers back there?
Yeah.
My great. What are we talking about? We're talking about relationship. So we're talking about what Pastor Bill talked about last night. He wants you dead! He wants you dead! So that he might live! Through you! Oral Roberts said this. Oral Roberts made this vow. He made this vow to God. The 3 G's. He promised God that he'd not touch the gold, money. He'd not touch the glory, that's the praise. And he wouldn't touch the gals, that's the women. The three G's. And I thought, you had it right. And to my knowledge, he has. He suffered in a lot of other areas, but I've heard him testify on TV how that he and Evelyn almost had lived from paycheck to paycheck and sowing seed all the time in order to get. To give. To get to give. To get to give to give. To give. To get to give. To get to give to give. So what am I saying? You go back. You want the finger of God in your life. You want the finger of God working with you and for you. And you want to be a part of His operation, of His great body. Then you need to develop relationship with Him. Whereby that you promise not to touch the glory. You cannot touch the glory. Then let me tell you something else the Holy Ghost said. He talks to me all the time. Sometimes I just don't like what he has to say. And once he revealed that to me, that, LeVon, you can't earn this. Yes, you ought to be praying, but you ought to be praying with the right motive. I don't know why he didn't tell me this weeks and months before. Could have saved me a lot of sleeping hours. Yeah, if God has sense of humor, you sat on the throne and elbowed the sun. Oh, LeVon's losing sleep. Isn't that great? Yeah. But isn't that better than him giving me cancer to teach me something?
Amen. Amen.
Then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and says, you really want to see those things happen? And I said, yes, God. Yes, yes, yes. Now, I've done soul searching. I don't have to prove it to you. I have to prove it to myself. I done soul searching. I said, yes, Lord, I want that to happen. I want to see that happen. He said, okay, I'm going to do it through other people and you can see it. That's not funny. That's not funny. That's what he said. Doesn't that just sound like God? That sounds like God, doesn't it? If you walk past me and I don't smell too well, too good, I'm just dying. I'm dying. So if you go by me, I'm just dying. My God doesn't tease me. He doesn't tease me. I'm going to see some things that's going to blow my mind. This doctor sitting over here, I admire him. Not too many people with his education will serve God. They get too smart for their own good. I admire a man like this. I'd love to be around a man like this. Because he has knowledge of the physical body and who made it. And knows the spirit and the power behind it that can move with God. You may try to draw something out of him, but he's got to balance the two. As a physician, he's got to say, you're well and you're whole. And you've got to hear the spirit of God and not the doctor. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
You can't turn around and sue him because he's a doctor. I've heard of that happening. A doctor, acquaintance of mine, brain surgeon, pardon me, a heart surgeon, prayed for a lady, sugar diabetes. You're cured. You're healed. It's his faith talking, not the doctor. The woman died. They came back and tried to sue. I was doing deliverance one time with a lady who was asthmatic, had a doctor there, and it was in a private setting. Set her in a chair. Pick that up from somebody. You set them in a chair. And we started praying and coming against those spirits, and the doctor, he just sat back there. Never did move out of his chair. Just sat there. I was kind of disappointed. Because he's almost like this doctor over here. He learned how to cast out demons in his office. When a lady who was a close friend of his just came into his office without an appointment and wanted treatment immediately and insisted on it. And he finally sent her back to a back examining room and says, you just go back there and wait, and when I get a chance, I'll come by. And when he got a chance and went by, the demon spoke out, and immediately he discerned that she was demonic. When the demon said something, he acknowledged it. And that's how he got into deliverance. Well, he just sat back there. Never did come up and help us. Never did say a word. I kind of got miffed. So I called the next day and went out to the hospital where he's on staff, and we took a coffee break. And so I said to him, Clint, I was disappointed you didn't come up and help us last night in deliverance. I said, would you mind telling me why? And he said, no, LaVon, not at all. Two reasons. Well, he said, maybe three. He said, number one, he said, I don't think she wanted it. She's using her condition to get attention. Very possible. If it's so, I didn't pick up on it. And again, that's possible. And then he says, number two, she is on the strongest medication that can be prescribed by a physician. And he told me what it was. Didn't matter. Still don't know what it is. And he says, I have yet to see anybody on that medication didn't have a demon attached to it. And she was not willing to do away with that medication. So therefore, she didn't want deliverance. And I thought, why waste my time? But he was courteous enough to set through all of that. But on the other hand, I was still miffed. Why did he let me waste my time? That's why I wanted him on the team. I believe in teamwork. I believe, and I'm going to close this out right here. I think I've read all my scripture. Everybody say, praise God.
Praise God.
I've just seen another scripture that's so good. Let me just read it, okay? Just it's so good. I just can't pass it over. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. When he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power, that's authority, against unclean spirits. To do what with them? To cast them out. And to what? And to heal. All manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Evidently, there's a difference between sickness and disease. Evidently, you can be sick but not be diseased. And I won't go into that. But I want you to notice what he said. He gave them power or authority. See, to cast them out and to heal sickness and disease. Everybody say amen. Now, there's so much in that that it just, it'll wipe you out. Verse 7 says this, and as you go, preach. Okay? Well, what do I preach? Well, say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, watch verse 8. Heal the sick. Just do it. Cleanse the lepers. Just do it. Everybody say the finger of God. Raise the dead. Just do it. How many people have you raised from the dead? No, the doc's out over here. Let's ignore him. I've raised as many from the dead as you have. None. You want to know why? The same reason you haven't. You haven't prayed. How many dead people have you prayed over? How many? That's what I thought. That's why you hadn't raised any. And that's why I haven't raised any. Now, isn't that a revelation? I told you I was a deep preacher. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Watch that colon. The colon is, by the way, freely ever you receive, freely give. You've received, now watch the paraphrase, you received the finger of God to do it. Didn't cost you anything. Do it! Everybody say, just do it! Just do it! Just do it! That's right there is enough to take care of any demon in here. I love it. Don't you just love it? You know what that is? That's Isaiah 11. One of these days, if we see the devil, we're going, you don't mean it. You don't mean it. I've been afraid of that. All this time. Look at that whip! The thing that God can take care of him! Isn't that a riot? Woo, hallelujah! Why don't we get the last laugh now? Why don't we do it? Why don't we do it? Why don't we do it now? Let's stand together. Freely. Freely have I received. So freely I give. So God gives me $100. He said, Levon, here's $100. Oh, thank you, Lord. What do I do with it? Just hang on to it. I'll tell you. And time goes by. And God says, Levon, give that $100 to Joe. And I say, I rebuke you, devil. No, Levon. Levon, it's me. Give that $100 to Joe. Oh, God, $100, that's a lot. $100? He says, yes, give the $100. Oh, the $100. Yes, the $100. You want me to give all of it? All of it. Freely have you received, freely give. If you got it and it didn't cost you anything, why can't you give it away? Everybody say the finger of God. Everybody say, I've got 6 fingers. One of them's God's. Isn't that a riot? There's no demon that can whip you. Amen. Anybody ever heard of the Toronto revival? There's a prophet by the name of Larry Randolph. Larry Randolph got a word from the Lord to prophesy over a church that a mighty revival was coming. It's going to be a mighty revival. And I forget all of the prophecy. And so Larry, he's a traveling minister, itinerant minister. And so he'd go to this church and he'd say, Lord, is this it? And God said, no, this is not it. He'd go to another. Lord, is this it? And God said, no, this is not it. From church to church, for months this went on. Is this it? Is this it? God says, no, this is not it. Finally, he's in Toronto, Canada. At the Vineyard Church. And he says, God, is this it? And God says, this is it. And, oh, praise God, this is it. And he prophesied. Mighty revival is coming to this church. Rivers are going to flow. And oh, he felt good to release that prophecy. And he thought he was going to be the one. But he wasn't. God called a little pastor by the name of Randy Clark out of Vineyard. I think St. Louis, Missouri. He was called by the pastor to come up there and preach a few night services. And Paul Harvey would say, that's the rest of the story. Revival went on for months until it turned into years. I have a pastor friend in San Jose, California. And my pastor friend, he and I went to Bible college together. He was having in as his guest speakers Larry Randolph and Randy Clark. And I told my wife, I said, I've got to go. I've got to go. I want impartation. Brother, I don't know how my heart yearned to be with a Derek Prince, to have him to lay his hands on me and impart to me portion of that anointing that was on him. Oh, I longed. I'm telling you, brother, my heart longed for that. And I had that to happen to Brother Frank Hammond as his health was beginning to break. And I thought, one of these days the time is going to be right, and I'm going to ask him. If I have to, I'm going to go to Plainview. I've got to have the man to pray for me. Impart an impartation on me. And we've done that at one of our meetings. I don't know if y'all remember that or not, but Frank's health was breaking. And I said, I've got to have it. I've got to have it. And I don't know if you guys remember or not. I pushed those tables out of the way, and I've got to have it. I'm talking about developing a relationship. I wanted to go to that meeting in California. I wanted Randolph to speak into my life. And I wanted Randy to speak into my life. I had an inside track. The pastor was a friend of mine. I preached for him before, so I could pull strings. So I said, Pastor, if there's any way possible, and another minister friend of mine went with me. I said, if it's any way possible, ask Larry to minister to us. And he did. I hope your God treats you better than he does me. That prophecy came to me, and the prophecy was, you're going to be on a need-to-know basis. Oh, God. What are we talking about? We're talking about relationship. I'm already in position. I'm talking about relationship. I rejoiced over the word, and then I grieved over the word. I rejoiced, and I grieved, and I rejoiced, and I grieved. What I was hearing God say is, number one, I'm going to be there. But I'm not going to tell you, this is the downside, I'm not going to tell you too much until you need to know it. Because I can't trust you. Because if I tell you too much ahead of time, you'll screw it up. I know you, boy. And I'm being transparent with you tonight. I know who I am. I don't have to put on airs. I don't need your approval. I don't mean to sound arrogant. I know who I am. I don't go looking for places to preach. I've got two revivals laying on my desk right now to give answer to. I called a friend of mine who's pastoring right here in Hot Springs. He said, can you come Sunday morning? If I knew you were being here, I'd put it in the paper, blah, 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 blah. I said, no, I won't be there Sunday morning. I'm the guest of Brother Miller. I don't know what's happening Sunday. I'm here. I can't be with you. What I'm saying is, I'm not looking for a place to preach. I know who I am. I just want my relationship to develop more with him. My oldest son is a computer nerd. He went to work for a company. This company moved their corporate headquarters out of Amarillo to Lubbock, 120 miles to the south. He was a single boy, and he got down there. He was working nights. He'd work nights, come home, play golf, play 18 holes, go to bed, go to work, play 18 holes, go to bed. That was his routine. He got tired of that, no friends, blah, 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 blah. Quit his job and moved home. Not serving God. That was in August. Come the 1st of January, still no job. He's having to live at home. He's 30 years old. He's having to ask his dad for gas money. He can't do anything because he doesn't have money of his own. You men know what I'm talking about. Self-esteem went to the cellar. It went into the pit. He had none. No self-esteem. I walked by him one morning going to the office, and he was sitting there in a chair with a book. But it's kind of like this. He had the book, but he wasn't in the book. Whatever he was reading, he wasn't there. I walked by, my hand brushed his shoulder, and I said, son, you're going to get a job because your mama and your daddy are praying, you're going to get a job. I know, Dad. I know. And he had knocked doors. He had sent out resumes, et cetera, et cetera. He'd done what he knew to do. But no results. I went to the office, stayed there a few minutes, went to a hospice seminar. Stayed there about 15, 20 minutes. Too much New Age stuff. So I left. I got back to my church, which is in a poor neighborhood. And a lot of times when I went in there, went into the church, I would lock myself in. Go in the front door, lock myself in. Didn't want people coming in. Just no secretary. I walked up to the front door, stuck the key in it to unlock it, and the Holy Spirit says, "You tell Tommy, he'll have a job by the weekend." Wow! I like that. Oh, glory be to God. I knew it's God. I know God's voice. He talks to me. Just don't like what he says. So I praise God. He's got a job. It's a done deal. And so I go back to my office. And this is before the day of my laptop. And I went back to my office. Unlocked my office. And I thought, I need to get my desk cleaned off so I can't be distracted. I got to get focused for Sunday. Got to get all these thoughts together. And I can't do it if I'm looking. That letter needs to be answered. I need to do this, blah, blah, blah. I said, I need to clean my desk. And then I could set up my book racks and I could start my study. So I was cleaning off my desk and the telephone rang. And it was my son. He says, "Dad, can I come over?" I said, "Sure, come on." He said, "I need to talk to you about something. I said, "Come on over. You don't have anybody in the office?" I said, Nobody's here. Come on. And so I went to the front door, unlocked the front door, came back to my office, started cleaning off my desk. Got it cleaned off. He walks in. Now watch another prayer that I'd be praying. Watch this prayer. "God, I want to know what's in the heart of man so that I may minister more effectively." I prayed that over some of you. I'd start to minister to you. In my heart, I said, "God, what's in their heart? How can I minister? What can I do here?" And so I've been, "God, I want your revelation gifts moving through. I want your revelation gifts. Word of wisdom, knowledge, and discerning spirit. I want those. Now, my motive is pure. I don't want to know everything you're thinking." I said, "Yuck, yuck, 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 yuck. I just want to know enough to do." Somebody say amen. So here comes my boy. He comes into the office, and I'm sitting down. He's got a smile. I said, "What do you want to talk about?" He says, Well, I got a job." "You what? You got a job?" See, the Holy Ghost just told me that not more than 15 minutes earlier. "Tell Tommy he's got a job." I said, "That's great." And he said, "Dad, I need at least $10 to open up a checking account because salary checks are direct deposit." I said, "No problem." And then I thought, oh, God. And then I confessed to him. And you know what I confessed? I said, "Son, not more than 15 minutes ago, the Holy Spirit told me that you're going to get a job. And I was going to call you as soon as I got my desk cleaned off. I was going to tell you what God had said. You're going to get that job. You're going to get a job." And then I said, "It's Thursday noon." And I thought, God's only got a day and a half. So I decided to tell him, "By next Friday, a week Friday, you're going to have your job." Everybody say, "Edit." Everybody say, "Edit." Everybody say, "Edit." I edited the word. That's not what God said. Part of it. Going to get the job. But not the timetable. Now, I can cry. I'm telling you right now, I'm holding back tears because that grieves me even now. Tommy already had that job before God ever told me what he told me. You know why he told me that? To let me know how much he could trust me. Do you understand better now why? That I'm on a need-to-know basis so I won't screw it up. You know why I'm telling you that? Because if you're a dummy, get it! If you're a dummy, get it now! He trusts me more. But I'm still on a need-to-know basis. That's not really a bad idea. And it's not a bad deal, just as long as I get to know. Because after all, I'm in the right position. And I am in a good relationship. And I'm not a servant. I'm a friend. He does share with me. We do talk. Sometimes his words are a little harsh. But at least I'm hearing. And at least he's talking. And at least I'm doing better. Yes, I've got a ways to go. But at least I've left. Did you hear what I said? At least I've left. I'm not a parked car. I am moving. At least I've left. Now I ask you, have you left? Freely have you received? Have you freely given? Some of you have not. You know why you have not? Because you're afraid of men. You're operating in fear. You're living in fear. You're afraid of what men will think. I renounce and I rebuke right now in the name of Jesus the fear of man. I command you to come out now. Don't you wait and don't you hesitate. You come out now. You come out now. Fear, you come out now. Fear of man, you come out now. Fear of man, you come out now. Don't you hesitate. Don't you wait. Don't you hang around. You are evicted now. I use the finger of God on you and I command you to come. You hear me? Come on out in the name of Jesus. Come, 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 come. Come, come, come. Come, 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 come. In the name of Jesus. Come on out. Come on out. In the name of Jesus. Come. Come, 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 come. You spirit of intimidation, I command you to come now. Don't you hesitate and don't you wait. Intimidation, I command you to come. You're intimidated by man. You're a fear of man. And I command you to come out now. In Jesus' name. Now in Jesus' name. Freely have you received, you better freely give. You got delivered. You're in the process of deliverance. You better not hold back or hang back. If you do, you'll open up a door. Didn't cost you anything to get delivered. You better give it away. Watch what Randy Clark prays all the time. He has people to repeat this over and over again. God can use little old me. 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 I don't entirely agree with all that, but it's true. Now, if that's not an oxymoron, we're not little. We're little in our own self-esteem. We've got the finger of God. Use it in Jesus' name. I'm not asking you to make a vow. But I'm asking you to resolve something within your own spirit. You're not going to be intimidated by man. You're not going to be fear what man can do to you. And that fear is rejection. You think if you can perform, they'll love and accept you. Well, that's a lie and that's a falsehood. And if you'd done the work, you wouldn't do it right. Jesus cast the demon out of that dumb man. And he could hear. But he didn't do it right. They judged him. They thought it. He done it by the power of Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies. He didn't do it that way at all. He used the finger of God. That's how he done it. And since I'm a friend, I shared that with you. You're on the inside track. Don't let man intimidate you. I'm hearing the Holy Spirit say, some of you are thinking, well, I don't have all the answers. You tell me who does. You tell me who does. You say, well, I don't know what to say. Open your mouth. And see what happens. Maybe you're like me. God won't tell you too much ahead of time unless you mess it up. Maybe you're a little above. God help you. Walking around there. Oh. How many of you know how to walk on water? The first thing you do is get out of the boat. You can't walk unless you get out of the boat. If you get out of the boat, you'll have a better chance of walking. But if you don't ever get out of the boat, you'll never walk. So some of you sit back and say, well, I'd rather be a dry boat setter as a wet water walker. Oh, not me. I'd rather take a step or two. Just see what it's like. And once you try it, you never want to go back. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. Brother Glenn, bless you, brother. Amen. And Father God, we speak blessings upon everybody that's here tonight. And yes, Lord, even upon those whom we know, our loved ones, etc., who are not here tonight. Blessings be on them. So peace be unto you as you go in Jesus' name. If you want special prayer, come on up. Otherwise, feel free to go. Amen.
This is the end of this CD.